All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio. We are back again with another episode, another week here in Fairfield. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. Jack, how are we doing this week?
Good. Another positive week, that's two in a row.
Yeah, another great week in Stag Country. We had a little snowstorm this week, brave the elements.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was like less enjoyable than I expected. But still enjoyable.
What, the snowstorm?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't really make it home, so that was tough.
It's just the whole...
To camp out of your house for the day. But luckily, Stag's game was Friday, so we caught that like while the snow was falling. That was good.
I enjoyed Friday night, the beginning of the snowfall, more than the Saturday of it just being...
On the
ground.
Unwalkable. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So, anyway... we're back again, Red Sea Radio. We're talking Fairfield sports. We had a little bit of a kind of a short week, or not a whole lot going on this week in Fairfield sports. So this episode probably won't be too long, but we obviously want to get into Fairfield basketball. We want to start off today by talking about our good friend Matt Turner. I wish we had a soundboard in here for like to play some congratulatory noises,
like a celebration.
Yeah, like a celebration soundboard in here. Maybe as we get better in our power of podcasting class, we can start to implement sounds, but not today. But Matt Turner deserves a round of applause. He's had a really big week. I know we briefly hinted at it last week, but it seems pretty much confirmed that Matt Turner will be joining Arsenal this summer. So for those of you not like really familiar with soccer, first of all, Arsenal, they play in England. They are one of the biggest teams in the world. As of late, they haven't been as successful.
They're on the up and up.
They're a very historic team, though. Historically, one of the top teams in the world, one of the top teams in England. You know, you got Man United, City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, kind of your main bunch right there in England. And Matt Turner will be heading there. The Premier League in England, probably the top league in the world in terms of competitiveness and talent. So... overall, very, very, very big deal. It's probably got to be the biggest deal for a Fairfield alumni, right? Ever? I mean, we don't know. Probably, right?
Pretty close. I mean, in terms of his name in the news cycle, I'd say it's pretty high up there in terms of athletes.
And it's probably like the best team. I don't know.
Best team of Fairfield players played on.
Yeah.
Fairfield athletes.
Or at least, a guy in, like, an NBA or something like that, or even, like, someone like, Justin Guerrero or someone like that getting drafted to the Mets or something. It's, like, it's different than, like, Arsenal bidding on Matt Turner because, like, they're just getting drafted and maybe they work their way up, maybe they see, like, the pros. But, for Arsenal to actively be seeking Turner – and then, spending,
was it $9 million?
Good chunk of money on him. You got to assume that they have some intentions to play him. So that's, I think that's probably the farthest progression that a Fairfield alumni has had in athletics, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, we could be wrong because we've only been here for 4 years. But let us know if we're wrong out there. But I think it's probably the biggest deal. And I remember when it broke. I think it broke Wednesday.
It was like last week. Well, the transfer window closed yesterday, so it had to have been last week.
And again, the transfer window in soccer, there's only certain portions of the year where you can transfer players. So, all of January and then the other window is the summer. It's like 3 months in the summer. So this deal was structured so that he will not be leaving New England until the summer window. So, he's going to play, the MLS season starts in April. He's going to play, or March, he's going to play half a season almost for New England, and then he's going to go join Arsenal this summer. The reason they structure it like that is really just because the seasons work different for, England versus America. The MLS season just wrapped up in December, but the seasons over in Europe, specifically in England, they start in the summer, and they wrap up pretty much around the summer. They're pretty much almost a year long, but it seems like Arsenal wants him to join on a fresh season, so that's why they're waiting until the summer. The actual terms of the deal, $6 million up front, but it could be worth as much as 10 with, you know, add-ons, clauses, different things like that, which is a big deal for obviously a Fairfield alumni, but also an MLS player going to England. It's a large deal considering, I mean, he was undrafted. And started playing soccer, US, you know, freshman in high school.
It's a unique time when US guys get bought by European teams like that.
Yeah, and it's happening a lot right now. We've had a lot of them recently, like just in the past year. So it's just a great time for US soccer overall in terms of development. But yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, trying to explain it to like some of our friends that don't watch soccer, you know, Matt started playing in 2010, so he's been playing soccer for roughly 12 years, not even 12 years. Yeah, like a little over a decade. And he's starting for, you know, the United States, and it's very, very unheard of in sports, in any sport, to just pick it up that quickly and rise to the top the way he did in his respective country. So really, really happy for him. I was very happy when I saw the news broke, pulled up some old clips from our interviews with him. And also the Revolution, his current team, is also getting a 10% sell-on clause, which is pretty cool because if he does get sold from Arsenal to another team, New England will get 10% of that. So that's a pretty good deal for them. Usually teams like to keep it lower than that. 10% is pretty high. But yeah, I'm excited for him to join Arsenal. I'm excited that we can finally get a Matt Turner jersey because the MLS does not sell goalkeeper jerseys, but England does. So you could finally get a Turner jersey. I'm a Chelsea fan, so that's kind of their rivals. But
I get one.
I'll make an exception. You're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, so.
Works out great right for you. Yeah, so really good for him. He's had an incredible year. We'd obviously love to get him back on here before we graduate. We'll see if Drew could work his magic now that Turner's...
Yeah, now he's big time.
Yeah. So we'll see if we could work our magic and get him on here. But we'd love to have him on one more time. We'd have a lot to talk about, you know, for the past year he's had. And yeah, before we close the book on Turner, he did play this past week. We had a few games. So I guess they played all of their games since our last episode. So they played El Salvador on Thursday. They won 1-0. It really wasn't the prettiest game. Turner played well. Obviously, clean sheet for him. But just offensively, it wasn't the prettiest game for them. Only, you know, taking a one-goal lead in against El Salvador is not the best. But took the win. We went into Sunday into a huge game. USA-Canada. This is for World Cup qualifying, by the way. Not sure if I said that. But USA wound up falling 2-0. Pretty much a 1-0 game. They kind of scored a last second goal while, you know, USA was pushed forward. Turner had some nice saves in there. He specifically
had a
double
save.
The double save?
Yeah, with his kick save.
I think we retweeted it, but he had a nice, nice double save in the second half that would have really put the game out of reach at that point, but he kept him in it, did about as well as he could. First goal wasn't really his fault. Defense really broke down and left him vulnerable, and then, like I said, second goal was kind of just a product of the game being over and, you know, USA pushing pretty much all their guys forward. So not bad for Turner, but pretty bad for the United States. Kind of needed a win would have been huge. A draw would have been nice. A loss was pretty devastating. And we got 4 more games left in the World Cup qualifying cycle. Tomorrow is one of those games. USA-Honduras, pretty much a must-win game for them. A take-care-of-business game, as Frank would say, right?
Yeah.
For Fairfield.
TCOB.
It's a TCOB for USA, crossing over here. They need to win this game because right now they are still in second place, but they are pretty much tied with Mexico in points-wise. So, you know, we say want to finish top three. They are pretty close there. Panama's in fourth. They're a point behind us. And Canada's
we want top
4
two.
Points. Yeah, we really want top two. So, basically, they got to win tomorrow, 7:30. Turner will likely start again for that game. So if you guys are interested, check that out. That's tomorrow at 7:30. Not sure what channel, probably either ESPN or Paramount, CBS, whatever. So check that out. And then, you know, we look ahead to March 24th, USA-Mexico, massive, massive game. March 27th, USA-Panama, another massive game. Those two games right there could pretty much decide our fate in the World Cup. And then they close out with Costa Rica, another must-win game. So it's really getting down to do or die for USA. And it's cool to see Turner between the sticks for those games. Massive, massive important games. It's not just like, you know, a year ago, he was playing in kind of, friendlies, right? Or like less important games. Mm-hmm. Now he's playing in like the important games for USA. That Canada game was probably the most important game they've had in a long time, even more than the,
every,
the Gold Cup.
Every game from now on in these qualifiers are probably the biggest game they've ever had.
Yeah, because especially missed out the last World Cup. Got a lot of hope looking into this World Cup. A lot of young stars, a lot of guys going to Europe, like we said, including Matt. So it's do or die for them. And we just wanted to keep you all caught up on what Matt Turner's doing, because he's really had a remarkable week and a remarkable year. So, yeah, that's kind of wrapping up the Turner piece. So let's get into probably what most of you guys are here for, Fairfield basketball talk. So the Stags had, you know, a short week, a brief week, only one game since the last time we spoke, and took care of business against Ryder. So from a, you know, step back perspective, Fairfield is now 4-5 in conference, 10-10 overall, back to 500. We are currently tied for 6th in the MAC with Manhattan. That's kind of how things have shaken up. Around the MAC, Iona remains undefeated. They just beat St. Peter's, the second-place team, the other day. And then you got Siena in 3rd, Monmouth in 4th, Quinnipiac in 5th. We play Monmouth this week, and we play Siena this week. And we play Quinnipiac next week. So, you know, the, 3-4-5? We play them all within 5 days or whatever. So, massive week for us as well for Fairfield basketball. And we'll get into that, but let's take a look at Friday's game. So, we had the Fairfield Stags against the Ryder Bronx. Fairfield took care of business in this one, 76-65. This was a rare time where it felt like Fairfield finally just kept the team out of it and took care of business and really finished the game off.
Yeah, it was like, I feel like there was very few points in that game where we legitimately thought they were going to lose. I think there was a stretch in that second half where a point, but like at some point they usually give up that lead and they have to kind of work back to get it back or something like that. And that never really happened, surprisingly, last week.
Yeah, so there was a very brief stretch where I think...
But did they ever take the lead? I don't remember if they ever actually took the lead or not, but I don't think so. But
there was a brief stretch where I remember I was telling you, I was like...
It was like a two-point game.
It's not, yeah. Because they went on that huge run right to start the second half.
With the when they were
couple turnovers, pressing. Yeah, with the press. And I was like, we're going to do this again. We're going to blow it again. Second half lead blown again. But, you know, Fairfield kind of responded well, figured out the press, and they played well. And they finally closed out a game definitively. I know last week we talked about Marist, and we said they finally won one of those games that they were close in late. And now this week they took it a step even further and finally closed out a game that they were, you know, ahead late. So that was very, very nice to see, and it's always nice when you can kind of breathe as a Fairfield fan towards the end of the game because we – haven't had that much, so it was an encouraging win. I know Ryder's pretty much at the bottom of the standings, but still nonetheless encouraging, and it looks better than it has, you know, early January compared to late January. So let's look at the stats. Fairfield shot 51%, kind of up towards where they were beginning of the season when we were, you know, praising their offense. Ryder shot 38%. From three, Fairfield shot 37%, Ryder shot 26%. From the line, Fairfield shot 75%, Ryder shot 78%. They out-rebounded us by three. We had beat them in the assist battle 17-9. We got three steals, two blocks, nine turnovers, 10 fouls, and our largest lead of the game was 17 compared to Ryder's largest lead of two. So, good stats for us. Turnovers again under 10. That's kind of where we want to be. We usually say
it's the level,
and you know, it's a lot better than our 20 turnover games. But moving into the box score, we'll go player by player. Supreme had a better game. I know we kind of not criticized him last show, but we said he kind of had a down game against, you know, like Monmouth, for example. But he did well in this one. 22 minutes, 4 for 7 from the field, 3 for 4 from the line, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, only 1 foul, 1 turnover, and 11 points for him. So, solid game there for him.
3 assists, too.
I know, yeah. He had some kick-out passes.
Well, I think there was one. I remember there was one, I think, that we – I forget who it was for 3, but it was like he – it was like when he gets double in the post and he kicked it right back out. And it was like kind of like what – we've been asking him to do for the entire season, like when he recognizes double teams.
Yeah, and he struggled with that, you know, this season to points. Even last game against Marist, he had some points where he could have, you know, made that extra pass. Even that one to Mido against Marist that he just didn't recognize. He wanted to put the ball down. I think he either turned it over or traveled or something. But to have him start to, I guess, have better court vision would be huge for the team, because obviously, like, the secret's out that he's good, so they're going to, you know, spend a lot of attention on him. But if he has that vision to kick it out, it'll create so many more opportunities for us. And like you said, we've seen that in this game. 3 assists. I don't know. When was the last time he had 3 assists? You know?
I don't know. It just, like, that number stuck out to me so much.
But, yeah, we also had Allen, 24 minutes, 0 for 1 from the field, 1 for 2 from the line, 2 assists, 1 block, 1 foul, 1 point. Again, offensively, he hasn't really been producing, but it's also kind of been back to, like, the old Allen where he hasn't really even been attempting, which is it's interesting because it's just interesting that he had such a stretch that he did back in the whatever – middle December. Of this, whatever you want to call it, middle of, not middle of the season, but I guess middle of this so far games we've had. Yeah, what was it, late December, early January, when he was kind of popping off there. And it'd be one thing if he was just struggling now, you know, not shooting well or whatever, but he's just really not attempting, and it's, I don't know, it's interesting. I wonder if it's something that Jae Young, it's part of his game plan, or if Allen just isn't, you know, attempting shots really anymore. So it'd be interesting to get, I don't know, Jae Young's perspective or anyone out there's perspective on what kind of has changed for Allen compared to the stretch where, you know, he was leading us and scoring and was dominating, driving with the Euro step, and was kind of a spark for the team. And now he's kind of just back to the old Allen that kind of disappointed us in previous seasons. So, I don't know. Interesting to think about. Mido, 15 minutes played, 3 for 4 from the field, 4 rebounds, 1 turnover, 2 fouls, 6 points. When you look at the duo of Mido and Cook,
good game.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid game. And it's good to have Mido back, especially going into Monmouth, which
they're going to need him for, I forget his name already. We talked to him last week for like the whole show. But, yeah.
The UNC
transfer. We're going to need him, though, for
that game. And then going into, like, you know, Siena's, and then Iona's only, I don't know, a couple weeks away. So, it's good to have him. I mean, I know he's been back, but it's good to have him kind of getting back into the flow of things now, getting back,
like,
into game
minutes.
Shape. Yeah, getting back comfortable with the team. So that's nice to see. Jake, 36 minutes, 7 for 13 from the field, 3 for 8 from 3, 3 for 3 from the line, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 turnover, 2 fouls, 20 points. Phenomenal phenomenal game from Jake. And he's been continuing his good stretch, which is coming at a good time for us when we really need it. So he's been good from 3, he's been good from mid-range, he's been driving, he's been really showing the triple threat.
Yeah, it's like he's playing kind of like last year. Like, this is like kind of what we were getting from every game towards the end of last year. So if he can put it together for like, I mean, for a couple more weeks, they might he might play himself into a third team all MAC like he was supposed to be at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, this was the Jake that we expected from the ground running at the beginning of the season, but it just didn't kind of work out for him in the beginning. But it's nice to see that he's finally caught up and he's back to the Jake we expected. And I think he could even probably soar higher than he is right now. But it's very, very solid numbers from him. And he's confident, too. He's pulling up from spots on the court that most guys probably shouldn't. But for him, it's okay. Yeah. I mean,
give him the green light.
So it's good to have him back in his form. And again, going into some really, really important games, Monmouth, Siena, Quinnipiac, games that really can shake up how this league's going to finish out. We need him in that.
Need scores.
Yeah. We need him in that form. So, other guy with a phenomenal night, Taj Benning, 38 minutes, 8 for 14 from the field, 6 for 9 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 1 turnover, 24 points. This is, as you've seen on Twitter, it's the first time since the Tyler Nelson era that two Stags have scored 20-plus in a game. And it is Taj and Jake. Taj has been...
he's been great. He's been really good. And just look at, like, past few games, just his three-point shots been falling. It turns him into a... I mean, he had, what, 24 this game. What was the game he had, like... Oh, the last Mariners game, he had 16. Like, if he starts hitting his threes, then it's just, like, it changes him completely. Like, look at his three-point percentage from the last five games, all over 50%, and all double-digit games for him.
Yeah, he shot really well against Marist. I think he had the first, three threes in a row or whatever. And again here, 6 for 9 from three. And that's kind of what we saw last year from him. He had a pretty efficient three-point shooting. And then again, going into this year, it kind of disappeared for a little bit for majority of the beginning of the season. And he was still playing, you know, generally well, but he wasn't playing at this level that we've seen in the past couple games. Part of you, I mean, you got to wonder, is it because we're playing kind of some of the lower teams in the MAC, you know, Marist and Ryder? But, you know, I guess that's left to be seen. Will he do it against your Monmouths?
I mean,
or your
stats are stats, so it's like you kind of give. And, I mean, he did have a good game. He did have a solid game against Monmouth. It's not like he played poorly necessarily against Monmouth.
Yeah, and that's kind of in this stretch still, right? That's only two games ago. But... yeah, I mean, just for him to score 24 is kind of back to that Taj we saw last year that got snubbed from the All-MAC teams and was, you know, putting Fairfield on his back in some of those games last year and really just willing us to victory. And I guess we didn't really see that this year so far. He's been good, but I don't feel like he, like, single-handedly carried
and Wojcik, this year. Wojcik kind of has gotten to the point where he gets more shots than Taj does. Like, I feel like before Wojcik kind of found his groove, he was more of like a spot up shooter. Didn't really get too many touches, or not too many like isolated touches where like he was like kind of running the offense. But now it's kind of like a two man. Like, they both kind of run the show.
Yeah, but part of that could be because Caleb's hurt.
That's true.
You know,
Caleb. Yeah, like they never really were. Jake and Taj weren't really bringing the ball up as much because Caleb was almost always in, played like 37 minutes every night. So
it's interesting because I've seen people debating this too on online on the message boards. It's like one part of you is, you know, you want Caleb back because he's, you know, solid ball handler, leader. I think he's leading in 3-point percentage actually.
Could be.
And his offensive production this year has been way better than it has, you know, last year.
Before he got hurt, he was playing pretty well.
Yeah, he was playing well. And he's pretty much played well all season for the most part. But part of you, too, you look at how they've played in the last two games and you wonder how him coming back would change that, you know? Like, what do you think?
Especially because it takes, like, I know you're a big TJ Long fan, but it takes, like, things from TJ, Cruz. Like, from Caleb coming back, it would shift everybody down. So then it would take minutes away from those, like, bigger guards, like the wing players that are able to play because Taj and Jake moved to, like, the one and the two.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah, I'm just interested to see how him coming back will change the, I guess, offensive production of Jake and Taj. Because, like you said, they're a lot more free now to have those isolated, you know, situations.
They just have the ball more often.
Yeah.
Just, like, it's like numbers, like.
I feel like specifically Jake, too, like you said, has those, you know, one-on-one situations more.
That Ryder game, it was like, every, like, for like, there was like probably a stretch of like three or four possessions where he was kind of isolated with the ball and like making it work too, which is even more impressive.
Yeah, so I feel like Taj gets those regardless, but I think for Jake, it might benefit him a little bit more when Caleb's not on the floor. But then at the same time, I think you still are a better team when he's out there. Yeah, so obviously we want him to come back as soon as possible, as healthy as possible.
Any sports franchise that has a player get hurt and then they win a couple games without him has that same question of like, oh, it's
are we better without him?
Especially in basketball. But like, come on. No.
Yeah, no, we obviously want him to come back quickly as possible, healthy as possible. They're still a better team, you know, with him back, so.
And I wonder if starting Cook and Mido together is somehow a way to offset Caleb's lack of Caleb's presence. I don't know how that would work, but I'd be curious to see if when Caleb comes back, would it be Caleb, Jake, Taj, Mido, Cook?
I don't think I can't see them starting both.
That's what I'm saying. I can't, but just curious why they're doing it now. Like what made them start doing it? Because they really started doing it after Caleb got hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. Because who else would be in there? Maybe Cruz?
Cruz for Mido.
It's interesting. I don't think they would start. I don't think they'll keep starting them both, though, when he's back.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, Allen's been good. Allen's a good defender, but he hasn't been great on offense, so. I don't know. Be interested to see. I hope Caleb comes back Friday. It really is an important game. Really important game.
That'd be big.
Especially after the way things ended, you know, against Monmouth the first time. Very beatable, as we know. But now you got to go play him there. And, you know.
But I'd much rather a healthy, like, I'd much rather just, like, the normal lineup we've already had than an injured Caleb trying to, like, play through 35 minutes against.
Yeah, like, I don't think they'll rush him back either. You know, it's much more important to have him in the tournament fully healthy than have him now, you know, 50% or something like that, because at the end of the day, the tournament's
really what matters.
Really what matters, but obviously seeding will be affected by these games. I don't think they'll rush him back, but I hope he is back for this game, or at least for the following stretch of, I don't know, what do we have, 5 home games coming up, you know, over the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So I hope he's at least back for those stretch of games. So we'll see on him. Going to the bench for this Ryder game, Chrysler played 9 minutes, 1 for 3 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, 1 assist, 2 points. So kind of a quiet night for him. And we've seen his minutes decline, obviously, with the way they're playing Cook and Mido together. So I guess that's kind of just another product of Caleb being out, Cook and Mido starting. And it's interesting, right? Because Zach used to start
with... Yeah.
And he would still play like kind of...
It's the same kind of minutes.
Lower minutes, yeah, but it's just a different starting lineup.
And I guess maybe they found like a couple of sets that work. I don't know. It's interesting. Because it should, in theory, like 2 good big men on the court at the same time, it should work. Like putting... But I don't know.
I guess it depends on the matchup too. Yeah. Different things like
that. I mean, it could help against like a team like Iona, who's just so big that like you kind of need
it should help
that presence.
That's kind of a game. I guess that's. I would say I wouldn't mind if they started Mido and Cook, kept Allen out, and you know if Caleb's back by then.
Yeah, because I mean it's like I feel like they're fine scoring on Iona. I think they did a pretty good job last game, but like defensively, just trying to get like if they can get Nelly Jr. Joseph to like minimize his production, I don't see, like, their guards being able to shoot well enough. Or if they were to beat them, the guards would have to shoot well, and I would take that chance. Like the guards,
yeah. They didn't shoot well against us last time. They were slumping, and obviously we had Jake, you know, hit 8 threes.
But so we had Nelly Jr. Joseph drop like 25 and 15 or whatever it was.
Yeah, we got to get him in foul trouble or something. But I don't know. Like you said though, for that game, it was just us getting bullied on the boards, and that was kind of like so many second chance opportunities led to so many second effort points. And I know we had like a whole show on this already, but that just made it so discouraging because we were just getting bullied basically in that game into losing. So yeah, I mean, Mido, I'm really interested to see us play them with Mido because he was out for that game, and it was definitely played a factor.
Well, yeah, for sure. We noticed in the moment that Chrysler was overmatched at the five.
You can't say for sure we'd beat them with Mido, but I think it would have made
helped a lot.
Pretty good difference.
I mean, that whole run came when Chris was at the five.
Yeah.
You shift Chris down to the four and have Mido in at the five during those minutes, and I can't imagine they scored the same amount of points.
Yeah, they probably still would have, like, scored and...
Oh, no, they probably would have came back.
Made it a good... It still would have probably ended as a good game, but I think our chances would have been a lot better had he played, so it's just something interesting to keep in mind. I ran into Zach the other day. I told him, you know, nice win against Ryder, but I was like, we need this game on Friday. I was like, we need this Monmouth win. He was like, you're right, we need this bad. So hopefully they're super motivated going into this one. Hopefully they're hungry, and hopefully they're maybe even a little mad at how it ended last time. So I'm excited. Hopefully they really show some heart on Friday. TJ Long, 21 minutes, 2 for 6 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3, 0 for 1 from the line. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 turnover, 3 fouls, 4 points. Assists were kind of nice for him, you know. I like the way he plays. He just hasn't been finishing as of late.
The shot's just not going down.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. I like the way he plays, though, like, aside from the finishing.
Good defense, good rebounder.
Fearless. He's, you know, not scared to drive. He can find people on the kickout, too. He had 3 assists. Like, he's playing well with everything except for the final product.
If he just get a couple shots to fall in, he would be, like, playing perfect for his role.
Yeah, I mean, he went 0 for 4 from 3, right? Say he hit two of them. He's got 10 points.
10 points, couple assists, couple rebounds.
It's a very solid
good
stat
defense.
Line. Yeah, and those threes are kind of open threes. Like, he's taking good shots, They're just not falling. So we really need those to start to fall, because that would be huge for us if he could get hot in this stretch, you know, February and then obviously into March, into the tournament. So, yeah, I know you always say I'm a huge fan of TJ. I mean, I am a big fan of him, but I do understand that he's not playing, he's not shooting well right now, so I'm not gonna like blindly be like he needs more minutes or whatever. But he did get 21 in this one, so I guess with Caleb out, I'd go to him more. Jalen out, obviously, you know, so I think when Caleb comes back, his minutes will probably decline, but hopefully before then, if Caleb isn't back on Friday, hopefully he could make an impact against Monmouth, because Monmouth was one of those games where, you know, like I said, I would have liked to see him in there on that last possession maybe. I feel like he could get some shots up against Monmouth because they're huge. They clog the paint. We're going to need some guys shooting.
Some guy in the corner. Yeah. Like, and Woj can't really do that role right now, as he's like the guy kind of at the moment without Caleb out.
And I mean, I know teams have known Jake now already coming into the season, and they definitely have the correct scouting on him, and they probably focus heavily on him. But I think even more so going into this game on Friday, Monmouth's going to be really, really zoned in on Jake, because he played really well against them. I think he had 15. He was kind of like the ringleader of that game for us.
That's why.
TJ could benefit from that. Yeah. You know, so if he could get it going, this could be a great game for him to have one of those kind of, I don't know.
Great day to have a day.
Yeah, as Shane would say. One of those monumental games in his Fairfield career if he could pop off a little bit, maybe hit a couple threes, a couple assists, maybe a little and one drive-in foul. Maybe get our UNC guy into some foul trouble, you know, who knows?
Flair Pappas.
Even. Play Fearless. He would play Fearless against Pappas, too, defensively.
He would like that.
Yeah, I feel like he would thrive in something like that. So, who knows? Maybe he'll have a, he'll finally have a little breakout game similar to what we saw in the beginning of the year. I mean, I would like that. And I think they're going to focus heavily on Jake, so we're going to need someone to step up. Maybe it's Cruz, who played.
Who played well.
Yeah, he's been playing well. 35 minutes in this last game.
He's found his baseline,
yeah,
which is what we wanted.
3 for 6 from the field, 2 for 5 from three, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 1 foul, 8 points. You know, I love how, you know, none of these guys really got into too much foul trouble. TJ had 3, but for the most part, no one really got into foul trouble, and no one really had more than 1 or 2 turnovers. Yeah. So that's another great sign because...
I mean, those are the two things that kind of hamstring Fairfield, like,
When they
lose their lead in the second half, it's usually because a guy like Cook or like Woj or Taj are in foul trouble early and require them to sit. Most of the time, it's Cook or Mido, but it's like usually like foul trouble or turnovers.
Yeah, and I like how the turnovers are at least distributed.
It's not someone,
Three or four turnovers, you know. So, but no, Cruz has played so well. I know we talked about it last episode because he obviously had the game winner in that one. But he's just a true veteran right now, and he's playing like that. He's playing super well. Our biggest thing, like we always said, was the shot selection. His shot selection has been pretty good.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, he'll have something that you're kind of disappointed with. But
it's like, used to be like the threes were annoying, but like now he's like kind of improved his shot a lot. So it's not really like a bad thing for him to be shooting threes because he's kind of proven he can.
Yeah, they're falling somewhat.
Make them at a.
Two for five is pretty solid.
A semi-decent clip, like, every night. So it's like, if you want to take a three, take a three.
Yeah. I mean, if he was going 0 for 5, like,
but that's
like
what he was.
If he was going over 5, that's when we were kind of criticizing him last year. But it's falling, and I'm actually semi-confident when he shoots the three.
No, yes. And it also opens up the paint for him where he actually can do, like, some legitimate damage. Like, if guys have to come out to guard him, then... That helps so much with his driving ability.
And we still, I think we laughed about it this game, is that these teams, I mean, Cruz has been playing for 6 years now. These teams still haven't figured out that when he does that post pivot,
and then never the up and under.
Fading away. He never fades away. He always goes, you know, under to the basket. And we laughed about it because, I mean, we've watched him do that move probably
100 times.
Probably 200 times in his. I mean, the 4 years we've been here, he's been here for 5, I guess. So it's just funny how teams have never adjusted that because I feel like he always uses that move and it works.
And it's against bigger people, too. It's not like he's going against like guards where like he's just too strong. It's like
he gets them to leave their feet every time. It's pretty incredible how no one really adjusts to that move. But yeah, he's been playing really well, both sides of the ball. And I'm really happy that he's playing well, especially in a time like this where we don't have Caleb. They need someone like that.
Also, in a close game, the MAC tournament, you know, Cruz, like, I'll trust Cruz more than, like, anybody on the court. So, like, to see he's playing well would be, like, very helpful for, like, I feel like the MAC championship games.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to have the most experience. He's, he's up there and is he... I don't know.
I think he's close to breaking a record for games played or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's. I think every announcer now kind of jokes about that. That's what the Rider announcers said. They were like, Jesus
Cruz. That's what brought it up.
Played his 10th year in the MAC or something. Made a joke about it. So, yeah, for sure, he's been playing a lot better. And, you know, he's a guy too that could have a good game against Monmouth and can make an impact. So, that's kind of the outlook on that Stags Rider game. Pretty solid game. Like I said, really nice to finally definitively put a team away and not have to sweat a game out. And the team's just playing better. I know you can argue that they played against a couple bad teams or lower MAC teams in the past couple games, but just to see an improvement from the team is really encouraging. And Friday is going to be a real test now. You know, we got Monmouth, who is, fourth in the MAC, right?
Yeah.
And who we just played. We know kind of what we're facing because it was very fresh 2 weeks ago. We just played them, so we know what we're getting. If you look back to the box score of that game, obviously Pappas had 16. We kind of kept him somewhat quiet in the first half, but then in the second half he kind of played a little bit better. He started using his using himself to kind of get other players open and get other players opportunities, and he played pretty well in that game overall. So it's going to be important to keep him contained. Who was the center? Was it Miller? Yeah, Walker Miller. So he had 11 against us. So we got to keep him contained. Reynolds is the other transfer they had. He had 10 against us. So, I mean, we just played this team. We know they kind of clog the lane. They're a big team. Cook didn't necessarily have a lot against them. Didn't play super well. Mido had a couple points. It was more so the shooting for Fairfield that kept them in it. You know, Wojcik had 15, Taj had 13, Cruz had 14. Our team only had 58. That was kind of the bulk of the points. When you look at someone like TJ, he only had 2. In a game like that, I'd like to see him do better. Yeah. We kind of just talked about that already. So,
or even Chrysler offer more than 2. Like those two guys, like, if we can get one of them a game to have, like, a legitimately good day, it could, like...
Well, it would be awesome if Chrysler could stretch the floor in this game, you know? If he comes out firing, if he hits a couple threes and they have to start kind of going out on him, could open up the paint because it was really, really clogged in that last game.
Look at the last play, or not the last, the second to last shot, I guess. Taj drove. It was a good look, but like, I mean, when you drive, everyone knows you're going to drive.
Yeah.
It's a hard chance that you're not going to.
Kind of just relying on like out muscling
the
other guy
or something.
And it didn't work out. And then you look at the last play, it's kind of a mess, you know. Yeah. There was nothing there.
Even there, like.
So. Yeah, it's going to take a shooting effort from us, I think. I don't really think they're going to be strong in the paint this game, you know? Like, I don't really think they're going to change.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Cook or Mido kind of turning it on to an extent. But I don't think they're going to, like, if they're going to win, they need, like, a good three-point shooting night plus that, plus making their free throws. And plus, like, no turnover. Not, like, no turnovers, but less than 10, for sure.
Yeah, at least give us less than 10. They had 12 last time, but Monmouth had 16. So
I think the rebounding effort's, like, really the biggest thing. I mean, the amount of offensive rebounds they got that game was...
Yeah, they had 33. We had 22 total rebounds. So,
it's not even the points from Cook and Mido. Just get your butt into somebody and box out.
Yeah. I mean, we only scored 58, scored 61. It's a very low-scoring game. We'll see what happens. You got any predictions or anything?
I think they win.
Think they're going to win?
Yeah.
I think they're going to win, too. Chrysler seemed pretty confident when I told them we need to win the game. I wanted to look at, quickly before we get out of here, what the ESPN tracker has.
Oh, what the predictor has.
Us. Because last week, it did say we're going to beat Ryder, right? We're finally finally right. All right, it gives Monmouth.
Oh.
Monmouth has a 74.1% chance
that
to win.
That should not be that. 74?
74% chance to win.
Is their home court advantage really that great?
I don't know.
That trip to New Jersey? Is...
One of my friends plays football at Monmouth. He goes to the games usually. I'll tell him to tone it down on Friday. 74%, 25 gets, or Fairfield gets a 25.9% chance to win. But obviously we know that these ESPN
predictions are always right. You should see the Siena one.
What, us versus Siena?
Yeah, the next
game. What
does
it say?
Fairfield has an 82.2% chance of winning.
Really? We lost to Siena.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't correlate with anything or mean
I feel like it gives home court advantage, like, way too much credit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I feel like he usually just picks the home teams, except for last game. We were pretty heavily favored against Ryder. But in general, it's been a pretty quick week, short week, not much going on. But, yeah, we got a lot to talk about next week, right? So we got Monmouth, Siena, the Quinnipiac game. When is the 9th? Is that – oh, that's Wednesday.
That is
– that's Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, yeah.
So Monmouth and Siena will be before our next show. And then we'll get into, you know, Quinnipiac, Niagara. So make sure you guys catch those games. If you're out there listening, Monmouth Fairfield is Friday night at 7 p.m. It's at Monmouth. And then Fairfield starts their long home stretch on Sunday at 2 p.m. against Siena, Webster Bank Arena. I'll be there. I'm excited to get back and watch the Stags play live again. And hopefully we get a good crowd to cheer them on. That would be a nice win for us. And hopefully we have some momentum before that. Hopefully we beat Monmouth. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much wrapping up our show today. Do you have anything else to think of? All right. I think that's it for us. Another solid episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio. And interact with us, tweet us, let us know what you think of the show, and live tweet us during the game, different stuff like that. And yeah, until next week, we're going to patiently wait until Friday and Sunday, watch some good Fairfield basketball, hopefully get two wins. We'll be right back here next Tuesday, 2 p.m., Red Sea Radio on WVOF and all streaming services. So we'll leave you off like we always do by saying, go Stags.